I'd like to call to order the adjourned September meeting of the Kendall County Board of this day, Tuesday, January 19th, 2016, at 9:18 a.m. Please call the roll.
Ms. Kulick?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Absent.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Mr. Kokel?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Now, I would like a motion for approval of the previous month's minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Like a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Purcell?
Will we be having an executive session?
Yes, we will.
Excellent, thank you.
Again, could I have the motion, or did we have?
So moved.
Yeah.
I thought he was in discussion, that it was approved. Good, good, good. Is there any need for special recognition? Is there anyone out there very important? No. Is there any correspondence and communications from the county clerk?
I don't have anything.
Are there any citizens to be heard that want to speak easily with under 5 minutes? Thank God. All right. Now I need a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of...
My understanding is litigation on action against affecting or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or tribunal.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Purcell?
Can we add for the, and I don't know what the technical legal definition is, but the discussion of labor negotiations?
Sure. Also being number one, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body. And number two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives and deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
You need another motion?
If you want to amend your motion to
okay,
that.
I will.
Why are we voting on the amendment?
No, just on the motion, right?
All in favor?
No, roll call.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. Back it up, back it up. Roll call.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Need a motion to come back into executive, I mean, come back into regular session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, we're back. Back in, we're done with executive session early on this day. Now we will address old business. There is none. New business, we will now hear from Pastor Kent Svensson on the temporary transitional housing for Kendall County homeless. What?
Not here.
What a disappointment. Anyway.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes, sir.
Can I make a motion that we, could we at least table this to the end in case the gentleman does show up that
yeah,
we might be able to listen to?
Yeah, certainly. I'll second that.
Aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Very good. Elected officials report. Sheriff.
Nothing, Rob.
Nothing.
Nothing. And the sheriff in the back of the room. I thought he was up here. County clerk?
My revenue report is in the packet if you have any questions. And again, a reminder about the election judge training on Thursday, January 28th at the Timber Creek Inn and Suites at 1 and 6 p.m.
Any questions for Debbie about election judges? Treasurer's report, Mrs. Furco.
Good morning. Do have my report in your packet. We are obviously busy in our office, starting the new payroll, getting out of the old payroll, new deductions, all that fun stuff, W-2s, and the new reporting for the Affordable Care Act. Have all of that going in our office, as well as the auditors are, I think, in their third week, so hopefully they will have everything wrapped up by the end of this week, as well as we've done the KenCom audit. So just have a little bit of everything going on in our office.
Mr. Worley.
Just a quick question, Jill. I remember seeing an email from the state's attorney's office that there's new time card regulations. Is that a burden, or is it just a change, or would you want to spy, girl?
I'll just say we're going to need an addition soon. So, no, it is, and so we're hoping that we'll get a lot of that stuff scanned, and so that we don't have to keep paper copies of it. Working on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Any more questions for Jill? Thank you. Clerk of the Court, Robin Ingemundson.
Hello. I'll just give you a little update of what's going on. We have made a lot of changes to the website. We're getting all of our forms online. We have them almost all online, so hopefully that will save us from ordering as many forms as we do. We are, just as of last week, we went web-based, so attorneys can sign up and view the court files and get copies of documents. They are watermarked, but we do have that set up now, so attorneys have access to all of the court files, and e-filing's going well, so we're just moving forward. And since I am newer at this, if there's anything ever you want me to bring to the table, let me know, and I'll bring that, like judicial, I'll bring you the numbers, the statistics, so.
Dan likes to look at the divorce filing.
You're not an attorney. But if there's ever anything you want me to bring to the meetings, just let me know. That's it.
Thank you. I liked your presentation last night.
Oh, short
and sweet? Yes. State's attorney, once again, I've remembered you.
Good. I have our year-end report to hand out, so I'll give that to you guys. So that's a bill. I know you've been waiting for months for this.
He mentioned it last night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He mentioned
this last night.
Thank you. I'll treasure this.
Wallpaper. It's great.
Wallpaper, whatever you choose to do with it. This is our annual report that we do give. We're not required to give it, but I think it's a good idea to kind of let you guys know what we've been doing, where we've been at. One of the things that's not in there, and I mean it sincerely, it'll sound sarcastically, but sincerely, but we're two new elected officials being in the system this year at the countywide level. That has put a little bit of more increase on our office, just with different things that they're looking to do and changes, which obviously as new people come in, they are looking to make changes to their office, things that they'd like to do differently. So we have taken on, obviously, some additional roles with the sheriff's office and the circuit clerks over the last year. So again, that will probably settle itself down as things go forward, but it's always something we deal with. First page has our criminal cases. The only trend that's gone up significantly or continues to go up significantly is our juvenile delinquency cases. Yes, sir.
Well, you may get into that. We talked about it at public safety as well, how I noticed that there were some different, it seemed to be a rise in the juvenile delinquency. And they didn't see it particularly as a trend per se, as it just was something that kind of a fluke maybe, but are you seeing like a trend of things?
Well, there's been a couple things. Number one, they've changed the age of the juvenile offenders from, increased it from 17 to 18, so that's added that group into that numbers, which would have been felonies or misdemeanors in other cases, other years. So that's part of the issue, but we have seen, just as the population continues to grow, we've seen over the last 10 years, if you take about a 10-year graph, you've seen a pretty good increase in the number of cases. It corresponds pretty well with the increase in the population, but we have seen that sort of on the incline. Our felony cases have been pretty much the same, DUIs, and again, misdemeanors have averaged about the same. There's a little decrease in misdemeanors this year. And truancy cases, we're getting more referrals through the Regional Office of Education. Unfortunately, our abuse neglect cases went down from the year before. So criminal cases have maintained a pretty good numbers throughout the last few years, nothing significant one way or the other. Obviously, we did have a first-degree murder charge. That gets counted as one case number, but obviously the time and effort to go into those type of charges require a lot more time than a simple, say, drug possession charge. We have seen the number of interviews at the CAC gone up. This is the highest number we've hit in the history of us having the CAC. We're at 120 actual interviews that were done, whether that's through our own agency or at the request of another agency. For example, if there's an incident that occurs for a victim that occurred in Michigan and the person now lives here in Kendall County, we will help and assist that law enforcement agency in doing the interview here. There aren't many of those, but we do offer that service when needed to do so. So this is by far the highest number. This is one of those numbers that, again, I mention it every year. You don't see it in your budget. You don't see those numbers increase because, number one, we share that space over Health and Human Services, which is a great asset having it so close. We use the interviewers through Health and Human Services to conduct those, so that's obviously another asset of having those people right there and being able to use them. It's great for us as far as a time saving. It's great for law enforcement, and it's also, most importantly, great for the victims that have to come and go through this traumatic event. So having that there is a great thing. Our Juvenile Justice Council has been a big thing in the last year. We had our first fundraiser. I know Judy has an update on some things that are coming up in her report, so I don't want to spoil it. But that has been a great thing. Several of our programs that we've been able to reach out to teen youth over the last year have been very successful, so we look forward to continue to do that. Some other things in there, again, just some things that we've been working on over the years, the number of cases that we've worked on. Obviously, our civil side, if you switch gears over to that end, has been very busy, obviously, with the startup of collective bargaining, again, which somewhat never seems to end. But we're taking on the 5 units for this year, and then obviously there'll be 6 for next year, this fiscal, coming up at the end of this fiscal year. That keeps us pretty involved. We again conducted our Opening Meetings Act training with the Attorney General's Office, and I thank those. I think the county board or the county entities were the highest number of individuals who attended that training, so I appreciate that. For all those that were able to make that out, it's obviously very important for us. We did present our HR audit, our preliminary findings of our HR audit this year, and have been working to implement some of those. Jeff just mentioned to Treasurer Perkle about some of the new requirements. For whatever reason, they are imposing upon private and public sectors to have the exempt employees, exempt from overtime, record their hours as well, which is extremely difficult in most positions, the reason they are exempt in the first place. But that is the new regulation that's come down. Hopefully that will change at some point and go back to, once you identify them as being exempt, that they are no longer need to keep those records, but that is the new regulation that is going to be burdensome on governmental entities for sure. As we mentioned before, we've been working with Neutral Ground. Obviously, Neutral Ground has opened and started to work that, and more to come on that situation here in the next few weeks. But that will be a great asset to have neutral ground in the courthouse on a regular basis to address those issues. And then again, last thing I have for you is that, again, we were under budget this year. I know that's something that Mr. Purcell looks at, I'm sure, regularly. Probably the only thing that he looks at in the report is where we're at in the budget issue. But we were under budget again this year, so.
I was looking at the budget, I'm sorry.
Right, exactly. I know, there's one thing that they know that comes out of the state attorney's office is the financial end, so. Unless there's any questions, I tried to sum it up as brief as I can, and we have a lot of things going on today.
Mr. Worley has a question.
Vehicles used in commission of a crime that are brought in shows that they're brought auction. Is there any opportunity for local government offices to be able to somehow maybe get one of those instead of having to put them in the budget?
Sure. What we do, actually, we partner with law enforcement, and what we do is we let the municipality or the entity that seizes it, so it could be the sheriff's office or any other police entity, if they need the, once the vehicle's been forfeited, obviously, they can't do that ahead of time, but once the vehicle's been forfeited, if they need that vehicle for some use, they can use it for as long as they need to. They'll title it over to their entity, they'll use it for the duration of its livelihood, and then when it ceases to be useful, then they sell it at auction. So we have that already in place and had that for many years. It's worked great. Not every municipality takes advantage of it, but those that need to. I know Oswego is a big user of that. Over the years has used that many times. Community service vehicles or things that they need, and other operation vehicles that they would need for their units. It's a great asset. It's basically a free vehicle that they can use and then sell, and then mm-hmm. get the proceeds or divide it up after that.
Mr. Kokel.
Thank you, Eric, for putting this report together. I keep getting used it throughout the year when questions come to me. On your front page, on your misdemeanor.
Yes.
I saw your cases are down a little bit.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
We hope.
From last year.
Right, we hope.
And I see overall your cases. Do you guys track, or is it more the sheriff, of your pockets of Kendall County? Where are these misdemeanors from? All over the county, or is there hot areas, so to speak?
We don't, as the state attorney's office does not track where they come from. Law enforcement itself, and there's kind of a sharing of information, does track where they isolate some ideas, where they need heavier patrols, or where they see a trend occurring. But from our office, we do not. We look at usually the type of cases, and we can usually see that, again, over the last few years, we've seen with the number of traffic offenses have gone down with local prosecutions. That's very common, that non-moving violations are being handled by the municipality themselves and not going to the circuit court. The fact that they don't have the additional funding they used to have for additional traffic details and so forth, or overtime grants, has reduced, obviously, the traffic numbers, which traffic usually relates to misdemeanors or relates to felonies that come out of those traffic stops. So we are seeing that trend kind of continue to stay at a lower level because of those two factors. But again, as far as where the crime occurs, that's usually with the law enforcement agency.
Thank you.
Mr. Scott Greider.
Just to follow up on Mr. Worley's question a minute ago, we had to cut several, you know, new vehicle requests out of our budget last fall. Is the forfeiture, is that something, you know, if the sheriff's office determines that they can't use a vehicle, that, you know, facilities needs a new truck or something and there happens to be one, is that something that we could look at using the county, or does it have to stay with the law enforcement?
It has to stay with law enforcement. That's sort of the downside. It can't be transferred to some other vehicle or some other department for use of that vehicle. So facilities were to need one, unless we can tie it into somehow that it's a law enforcement.
Public safety center or something?
It's very difficult. A CSO is probably about as far as you can get. Sometimes they're used for undercover vehicles, stuff like that. But as far as using it in the department, normally they take to auction. If you have to use the funds for that, that would be fine. But as far as the use of the vehicle, it'd be very difficult because it does require it to be maintained for law enforcement purposes.
Thank you.
Any more questions for our state's attorney? Thank you.
Other than that, thank you. Unless there's any questions, I'll be here.
And now we'll hear from the coroner, Mr. Toftoy. I don't see anyone approaching. Health Department, Dr. Amal.
She's not here, but we're meeting tonight.
Supervisor of Assessments. All right, standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning, Mr. Greider.
Thank you, sir. The first item, I would like to make a motion to authorize $7,000 expenditure from Tanglewood Trails escrow account for tree removal services by Homer Tree Service.
Second.
This is the ongoing maintenance out at Tanglewood Trails where we're trying to get that subdivision updated. Is there anything to add on that? Is there what we're kind of looking at for this year and how much we have left in that?
After this expenditure, we'll be not even at by about half of what we received from the developer for that, so we're still in good shape as far as how much money's left over.
Mr. Kokol?
Mr. Kokol?
In the contract there, I read that they're going to grind up the trees and haul the big logs away. Are they going to leave the grindings there for the neighbors to be able to use for their personal landscaping? They're there?
I don't believe so.
You're not.
They are going to be removing them once they're finished.
The chips as well? I thought they'd be good to leave there for the neighbors.
Okay, thank you.
Where are we on this? We're having a sidebar.
Roll call, sir.
Huh?
Roll call, sir, or a vote.
Did you get a second?
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Abstain.
Thank you.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item, I would like to make a motion to authorize a co-sponsorship for Naturalized Detention Management Workshop on May 13th at Ellis Forest Preserve with Conservation Foundation.
Second.
John, you want to talk about that?
This is a pretty much what you explained. There's no financial commitment to this. It's pretty much just to have our name associated with the event. It's an educational seminar that's put on by the Conservation Foundation, and it's for homeowners associations to really understand the importance of some of these detention areas in the county and their subdivisions.
Any questions?
Is this Kendall County Foundation?
This is the Conservation Foundation.
Out of Aurora.
Neighborville.
Neighborville. You remember them, don't you? So we have a motion here?
Yes, sir.
And a second. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Finally, I make a motion to approve for approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the Village of Platteville and County of Kendall to administer the county's ordinances for zoning, building code, subdivision control, comprehensive plan, and stormwater management with the jurisdiction of the Village of Platteville for a term not to exceed 1 year in the amount of $1.
Second.
This is similar to the one that we did for Millbrook and have done, I think it's pretty much verbatim. They were just a little bit further behind in getting this updated. John, do you have anything you want to add? I know that this is, again, we're going to look at both of these throughout the year at some point. We're going to get to it at the committee level. Is there anything else you want to add on this one?
I know that just we're going to be working with both the Village of Millbrook and the Village of Platteville on any potential updates that we might have.
Thank you.
People in Platteville love us, unlike other communities. All right, we have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Public safety.
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Administration HR, Ms. Kulik.
I'm going to ask Scott to come up while we get these motions, or the first motion.
Okay.
Done, so he can explain it better than I can explain it. So the first motion is approval of the AT&T Fiber Internet contract for a 36-month term at a cost of $749.26 per month, with an initial credit of $1,778.04.
Second.
And Scott, if you could
Sure.
just give us that brief rundown that I know that you've given us once before, that would be great.
Okay, not a problem. We're from the state to AT&T fiber. It's going to be faster, and it's going to be about the same price. The contracts were just running out on our current connection, and the price was going to be going up, so I shopped it around and found this connection, and I think it's a much better option for us, speed-wise and then the cost.
I know that we had several questions, and Scott answered several questions for us at Committee of the Whole. I don't know if there's any others.
Any further questions? Mr. Worley has one.
Scott, you told us that there is one or two reasons that they might be able to increase the price on us throughout the course of this contract. What would those, is there a couple definite items that they that would trigger the increase in price, or is
no, I didn't. That the only way the price would go up on it is if we were to increase the speed that we got. We have the capability, it's written in the contract. We'd have to redo the contract at that point, but there's pricing in there for higher speeds from
so as long as we keep the contract at where it is, the price is guaranteed?
Yes.
Okay, I misunderstood.
And then anything else before? No? Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Okay. Next one, my motion is to approve the renewal of the AT&T and DS1 contract for a 36-month term at $443 per month.
Second.
Again, this one, this is currently what we use, and we're out of contract, so the price has gone very, very high. We're going to, if we renew this contract, we can cancel it when the fiber is implemented. We have a month because it's an upgrade. It's an AT&T policy that if you get an upgrade in service, you can cancel an older technology for free. So this is going to protect us from having a very, very high price in the interim because the fiber, they may need to do some boring, which is difficult to do, obviously, in this weather, and then get in the building and get connected, which could take up to about 3-4 months.
Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks. Thank you, Scott. Highway, Mr. Kokel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've been very busy down there. My first item, would like to make a motion to approve a letter from John Shaw to John Portman requesting intersection improvements at U.S. Route 30 and Orchard Road.
Second.
And a little discussion on that, Mr. Shaw. It's the intersection. We've Kane County's involved, Montgomery's involved, Caterpillar's involved, and they would like to encourage the IDOT, State of Illinois, to put that on the front burner for sure in their 5-year plan, but I think they're thinking even a lot quicker than that, but at least get it up on the front burner. And this is basically a letter of support that we support them doing that project. Everybody with us is involved, our highway department, our forest preserve, and everybody, because someday there'll be some trails there not too far right there on that southwest corner. Correct, Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Some trails there?
Yes.
So all of our entities are involved, so this is something we would like to get on the bandwagon with.
Well, we need a motion, but before we get that.
I made the motion, sir.
You did?
I second.
Second. Or I want to thank the press for the laudatory article that explains this quite well in our very own Aurora Beacon, well, not ours, of course. All right, roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
This letter that I'm signing was requested, for those of you that don't read the Beacon, by the mayor of Montgomery with in response to the carnage up there at Route 30 and Orchard Road, which is, I think, now at 50 or 55,000 vehicles per day, not accidents, but there have been some doozies up there. And it's a joint effort by Kane County, which most of the burden, and the city of Montgomery, village, whatever the city, I guess. It is not that much coming out of our pocket, but definitely part of our outward growth is one of our main traffic areas to get come in and out of the county.
You ready?
What?
My next item?
Yes, I'm done patting myself on the back.
Okay. The next item is kind of a house cleaning. We do it every year, but I want to make a motion to approve resolution restricting weight limits on certain county highways for seasonal purposes.
Second.
Discussion. Do you want to explain what this means?
This is marking of the roads for the frost.
Good.
That's
good. There are some people who have no idea what this means.
100,000 pound truck going down.
People that live in the vast cities and metropolitan areas are aware of weight restrictions.
Well, you taught me.
What?
You taught me.
Oh, right. All right. Roll call.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Next item I have is a house cleaning as well, but it's a one-time house cleaning. I'll make the motion and I'll explain. Approve Highway Authority Agreement between Kendall County and the Illinois Department of Transportation related to former underground fuel storage tanks at the Highway Department.
Sir.
What this was, Mr. Chairman, is way back in the day, in the, I don't know, the early 80s, there was some underground fuel tanks. They took them out. The EPA came in the last 2 years, did some testing, and they put in a well, everything is came out okay, and this is an agreement that everything is okay, and that we won't put in a water well, but we're on city water there, so this makes everything a-okay, this agreement.
These fuel storage tanks are still used by the sheriff's department, aren't they?
They are not, because the ones that we're referring to are the ones years ago that were underground.
Oh, okay.
We have a bulk ground now.
All right, well, that's my question. The sheriff's department is still fueling down at the highway department. What, do you want him to answer it?
No, he's got a question, I guess.
Okay. Am I recognized?
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
How can I deny?
I want to make sure that I don't want to
offend me.
Is this giving us a clean bill of health with the EPA and everyone?
Yes, sir. That's why it's a one-time house cleaning. We need to get it signed and done, and then they can move on to the next project that they have.
Good.
Roll call.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Okay. Next motion I'd like is approve a preliminary engineering agreement with Hampton, Lazzini, and Renwick for the Galena Road Bridge replacement with an upper limit not to exceed $158,500, said funds to be taken from the County Bridge Fund.
Second.
Mr. Purcell.
Which Galena Road Bridge is this?
Over Blackberry Creek.
Thank you. Over Blackberry Creek was the answer.
Over Blackberry Creek was the answer. Is it a four-laner?
No.
No?
It's a two-lane bridge currently.
Well, I...
Will it be for two lanes?
That's my question.
That's the big question. We'll find out. That'll be part of the design, whether the traffic warrants it or not.
That's the big question. That'll be part of the design, whether the traffic warrants it or not.
You're very knowledgeable.
That was our superintendent of highways shouting at his max.
We don't have the tin cans going between us.
We have no microphones back there. Just in the, effort at transparency here. Roll call.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
The next motion I'm going to be making is a project that several of us here on the board want to see through, and one of us on the board want to stay here to see this project be built. But this is phase one. But I'm going to make a motion to approve preliminary engineering agreement with WBK Engineering for phase one engineering on Collins Road Extension in an amount not to exceed $761,326. Said funds to be taken from the transportation sales tax fund.
Second.
Discussion.
This is a project that has been on the burner for many years. A lot of people in the Oswego area, when they moved to Oswego, were promised this project and said it was going to be built by the time their driveway was put in at their house. And that was not true. So this is a project that we're working on with Oswego. We have a lot of work to do with Oswego. One of the things is we have the funds for phase one engineering, but not sure if we have the funds for the rest of the project. But we're definitely, there is a need for it, and I would like to see this project go forward for the people in that area.
You know people that live on Collins Road, Mr. Cole?
You know some people that live on the east end of Collins Road, I do, and I know people on the west end as well.
Do you live on Collins Road?
I do. 1690 Collins
Thank
Road.
Thank you. People have wondered where you live.
And I'm not moving anywhere. I'm staying in district.
Mr. Davidson.
Is this for the whole road, or is this from Grove Road West?
This is for phase one engineering. So if you, I'll take you on a little trip. Bob, close your eyes.
I'm just asking the motion. Don't
we don't
say
need excessive sarcasm here. We want information.
Go west, and then it's going to go through, and it's going to hook up to Minkler and Orchard.
Then you answer my question. It's west of Grove Road. We're not going east of Grove Road.
Yes.
Thank you.
not to pile on this one.
Mr. Greider.
I do want to point out, however, that we were able to fund this by in part through the KCOM grant, which we received from the Kendall Kane Council of Mayors for the Alderman Road project. But as a result of that, it freed up additional funds for us to use to get the phase one going on this. So I think that while we applied for that grant for the Collins Road extension as well, while we didn't get it for that, it still, we benefited from it in the end. The county didn't.
So in other words, from Menards North on Galena Road, we had an extra $1 million to be able to put in to this, so it worked out well.
Menards North?
Alderman Road?
Okay.
That's your district?
Yes, I know. Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Without retiring about Collins Road, but that's all right.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw?
Oh, all right. Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Okay, my next item, full
three.
Approve a preliminary engineering agreement with Hutchinson Engineering Incorporated for Ridge Road and Holt Road intersection improvements in the amount not to exceed $220,000. Said funds will be taken from the transportation sales tax fund.
Second.
Mr. Purcell, would you like to tell us where this is?
Well, I was going to potentially tell you something about it, but I'm not sure. So
you're kidding me, right?
No, I'm not. But what intersection improvements might we be considering?
Well, there's been quite a few accidents. But there's been quite a few accidents at this intersection, and it's time to at least figure out what we're going to do there, because it has been. Brian, would you like to come up? And we get quite a few calls in this from the southeast part of the county down there.
It's down in Stewart Township.
Oh, like Stewart's Valley, Alaska.
By Minooka, the road east to get to Minooka. Go ahead.
I think Frank Kloss County Engineer. Several years ago, we improved the area from I-80 north to Midpoint Road, where there's a traffic signal and some warehousing to the west. And at the time, there was some thought that those improvements would continue north and those would be paid for by development, which was expected back 6-8 years ago before the economy kind of tanked. Since that time, obviously, nothing has happened, and we've had a rash of crashes there at Ridge and Holt. For various reasons, I'm not really sure why, but we have an inadequate drainage structure just south of Holt Road. There's several issues going on there that need improvement anyway, and so without having any development there to expand that five-lane concrete section north and make some safety improvements, we put in a five-year plan to actually start doing those things ourselves. So this project starts just north of Midpoint Road, extends through the Holt Road intersection, and then transitions back to the two-lane road, which is the existing Ridge Road. So it'll include turn lanes, new drainage structure, and then the consultant would also do a study to see if traffic signals would be warranted at the whole road intersection. I don't know if that would even be warranted at this time, but that's one of the things they're going to look at.
Thank you very much.
Just to clarify there, John, that industrial park that Fran was talking about is in Kendall County, and that's, if you ever take a ride down there, is where Electrolux and Macy's at, that the EDC committee brought in Electrolux from Indiana. There, right on the north side.
The company that didn't go from Illinois to Indiana came from Indiana, Illinois.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that last night.
Well, did you? Where?
Yeah.
200 employees.
You can pat yourself on the back now.
Before we pat ourselves on the back and vote on this, I would suggest that whoever my successor is authorizes a bus trip with the new board through the county, because it's always been my theory that a lot of board members have no knowledge of anything south of 171 or 126. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kolkel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Facilities, Mr. Davidson.
No report.
Finance, Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. Finance Committee met last Thursday. We have two motions. First one I'll make is to approve the claims in the amount of $1,186,620.96 and grand jury claims in the amount of $1,500.
Second.
Discussion of any kind, questions? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kolkel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you. The next item is the approval of the senior levy agency funding application. In your packet, you first of all have the timeline for the senior levies. January 25th, we'd like to get the applications to the organizations and ad placed in the newspaper. March 4th, 4 p.m., we set a deadline for returning applications. And March 7th, the packets would be distributed to the Finance Committee mailboxes for review. The application is largely the same as last year. We did make two changes, and that's why we are presenting it today, just so everyone's aware. The first one is on page 1 of 8, and we put it in red. Presentations may be scheduled by the Finance Committee. In the past, we have automatically had presentations. The committee discussed this year that after we receive the packets, see what applications have been given, then we can make a determination if we'd like to have presentations at that time. We may or may not, depending on what we receive. And then there was one additional question on page 2 of 8, under budget information, letter F, percent of grant funds allocated to administrative costs and employee benefits. That is a new question. Other than that, the application is the same, and I would move that we approve the application with the changes for 2016.
Second. As a senior, I'm second. So senior, second. Mr. Worley.
Approximately how much money overall is the senior grant?
Oh, I think last year maybe it was $315,000 roughly, is that about right?
$325,000.
Any other?
Yeah, we have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Gilmore.
So, Mr. Purcell, do you anticipate having those presentations, or are you leaning towards going away from them with this addition?
Quite frankly, Judy, I don't know. It really depends on what applications come in and where they're at. If we come in with the same additional or identical applications as last year with an almost identical request, we probably won't. But if we have several new applicants, we may. It really just depends on what we get.
Yeah, I just would like to say, you know, as being a member of that committee prior to this, that I thought those presentations were extremely valuable for the committee, who may not read that big stack of applications that come in. You know, to hear those people,
sure,
come in and give their presentations, I think it's a worthwhile spending of the time for the committee.
Mr. Worley, again, thank you, Judy. That's very good.
Yeah, and I would suggest that if the finance group decides not to have those presentations, that at least the entire pack of applications get brought in front of the committee of the whole. This is an item that I don't think we want to take lightly, that we need to all look at, not just the finance group.
Sure. Well, Jeff, can we make sure that all board members get copies of the packets?
Sure.
Whether or not we have the hearings. I think that's a good suggestion. I don't know. I don't know who's received them in the past. I know the Finance Committee has.
No, when I was not a committee, I received them.
Roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I have. Simple meeting.
Labor and Grievance, Ms. Flowers.
Labor and Grievance Committee has not met.
All right, now, before we get to the Committee of the Whole, I'm going to call a 3-minute and 40-second break for various functions, and upstairs there's a couple. All right, after our short break, we're reconvening the meeting of this Tuesday, July 19th at 10:56 a.m. We're racing along here. All right, Committee of the Whole, Mr. Grider.
No report, sir.
You didn't have the meeting?
We had the meeting and we voted on everything we discussed.
Legally.
No. All right. We've talked about the Orchard Road and Route 30 letter. We talked about AT&T fiber internet and DS1 contracts. We had a brief executive session under item number, is that 2, that we discussed union negotiation?
Yes.
items. And then we also had a discussion on ordinances and regarding raffles and poker runs, which I believe has gone back to the legislative committee for further discussion.
That was very contentious, I heard.
It was. It was unexpectedly so. But it was a hot topic. I'm sure we'll be seeing it again, and stay tuned.
Thank you for pitching in there. All right, now.
You're missed.
I need a motion for approval of the standing committee minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Special committee report. Public Building Commission.
We did not meet. We're still waiting our audit and getting ready to close up the Public Building Commission, so.
Veterans Administration.
The VAC met January 6th. We are in the process of trying to get our board to take open meetings training, so we're getting there. It'll happen. And then we talked about upping the scholarship program, so they have a couple different scholarships available from the VAC to college kids. They talked about upping those a little bit, and also gave a little bit more money towards some of the veterans that are coming into the county that need some quick financial help. We have some money set aside, discretionary funds that the crew over there might be able to help some of these ladies and gentlemen out there just coming out of the service, and they quite often could use a hand fairly quickly. So, doing good things over there.
Very good. Is there any questions for Jeff? Historic Preservation.
Historic Preservation meets tomorrow night. Hopefully, with a full contingent of all our people.
Am I on that?
No, sir, but no. If you'd like to be, we'd sign you up.
I thought I was at a couple meetings when the Alphonse was attacking.
Oh, yeah.
Board of Health, Judy Gilmore.
Yes, Mr. Moreland.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, too.
Oh, sorry.
We do meet tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to start working on
iPlan. Trying to spread it out.
We've had some discussion to do with some of the stakeholders in that, and we'll be working towards the 2011 to 2016 is obviously leaving us, so we're going to start to work forward the next five-year plan.
Juvenile Justice Counsel, Judy Gilmore.
Thank you. Counsel met January 15th, and the Board of Directors can meet through, and then the Council at 3:30. So we heard reports. There was a hazing and bullying presentation done by Mr. Weiss. November 13th at Newark High School, and also at Oswego High School on December 7th. And I believe they're planning to do the presentation by other high schools that they're invited to. In the Youth Parent Campaign, which is our grant that we receive for underage drinking, we have a new poster, and I put it up on the wall over there. That's the third one on the end, Tell Me Where You're Going. So those posters are available. Anybody can go get those and put them up around the county. We talked about our fundraiser, which is the Sky 5K Walk Run, and I put on one of these on your desk because right now we're looking for scholarship opportunities that people can sign up for, and the brochure tells all about it. So we're asking local businesses, elected officials, and anybody that wants to be a sponsor, and the brochure tells you, you know, the various levels of sponsorship. What you get for that. Just a reminder, this is a fundraiser that benefits area high schools programs that they have for basically underage drinking and prevention of drug abuse. This year, something that's new with the Sky Run is that you can sign up online. It's called signmeup.com. And this year, the course will be certified and it's pet friendly. So I know a lot of you came out last year, and I hope to see more of you this year, too. It's April 30th. And that's about it.
Any questions? Thank you, Judy. Chicago Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, Scott Greider.
Thank you, Chairman. We attended the meeting last January 14th, and a couple of things. The first is that they've been operating under the Go To 2040 plan for the last many years, as many of you know. It is now time for the update of that plan. Wednesday, February 24th at 9:30 a.m. At the CMAP offices down in Chicago. They are officially kicking off development of the next comprehensive regional plan. So they've invited everyone to attend that can. I know that John Sterrett's on the land use committee down there, so I'm hopeful that he'll, from staff, will be able to attend that to give input, on behalf of Kendall County, as well as anyone here, is welcome to go as well. And basically, they're looking for information on what we want the plan to accomplish going forward. And they've already, started the preliminary planning, of that as well. We also had a update on a number of projects, and IDOT has indicated that they have $1.4 billion to spend this year, which I was very surprised to hear, given the state of the state. And then there was also a transportation bill passed by the House of Representatives, which they're sending, I think it's $1.5 billion to Illinois, and $600 million to be spent on transit, so I don't know if that'll something that'll help us or not at this point, but those numbers were somewhat staggering to me, just based on what we continually hear. So that's all I have on that.
Any questions for Scott, who ably replaced me? Who's running that now? Who's taking Randy?
His name is Joe Sabo is the new one, and it was interesting because Randy just slid over one seat because the IDOT secretary runs these meetings. So he's for years he sat at to the left of the IDOT secretary. Now he ran the meeting. He ran a good, quick meeting. He's very efficient with it. So.
And how did Randy? Did he comment at all about how he likes his new job as Secretary of Transportation?
He indicated he missed his CMAP folks for sure.
Is he going to be more interested in Wolf Crossing Road? Do you think?
I would like to think that he'll be take a keen interest in all things Kendall County.
Good for you.
Keen interest.
Obviously, he likes you better than he does me.
I'm just optimistic.
Thank you. Other business to come in front of the board?
20.
Chairman's report. All right. Before I get into this, and I know this is the most exciting part of the meeting for most of you, on a somber note, I've been asked by Judge Tim McCann to comment on the death of Judge Kurt Klein, who, as many of you may know, was quite active as a juvenile court judge. And he will be buried the 25th of January in the Church of St. Mary in Waterman, Sycamore, Illinois. Anyway, Judge Klein was instrumental in getting us our own district as far as the 23rd district and splitting up the three districts. And so Tim wanted me to mention him. He was born 1943 and he died the 15th of this month, Judge Kurt P. Klein. Now, with the announcements, there's quite a few of them here. There are no appointments, but in the announcements we're going, once again, getting into our regional plan commission with the first name is Bill Ashton from the southern part of the county to a three-year term. All of these expire in 2019. In the regional plan commission, Tom Casey, regional plan, Larry Nelson, regional plan commission, three-year term, Vern Poppin, Regional Plan Commission, three-year term, and Bud Wormley, Regional Plan Commission, three-year term, all of these expiring in 2019. Then Dan Kokel, a name familiar to all of us, Farmland Protection, two-year term expires December 2017. John Shaw, University of Illinois Extension Board, one-year term, why that is, I don't know. Expired 2017, John Purcell and Judy Gilmore on the first, also on the University of Illinois Extension Board, again for a one-year term. And last but not least, Nancy Martin to the Public Building Commission for a five-year term, which expires in 2021. But what I wanted to ask you, Jeff, is it not true that the Public Building Commission is going out of existence, or?
It's true, and I talked to the state's attorney's office about this. The publication and the notification of this is for a term up to a certain point, okay, extending to that point. There's a couple other ones that, depending on what happens in November, might or might not be able to fulfill their terms. So it's a do not exceed, not a will be.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions about those announcements? If not, are there any citizens to be heard for less than 5 minutes? And you'll have a
you can do 2 minutes, Todd.
A clock on here.
And it might take a little longer this time.
Criticized for being sweet to you for some reason.
Tell me when you're ready, John.
I'm ready. I started 20
okay.
minutes ago.
All right. So I already burned 15 seconds. This, I guess, would be addressed to the HR Admin Committee regarding these payroll requirements for reporting for non-exempt employees. One thing I'd been advocating for quite some time, and we've talked about, and I discussed this with the board, is a biometric payroll system where it's like somebody's handprint or fingerprint. They're very inexpensive now. Stuff goes up into the cloud, whatever. People who do payroll pull it down. It's all automated. Boom, those checks get cut with the deductions and the taxes that are supposed to be taken out. It might simplify the treasurer's office. I've researched this for a while, but at one time we did have like three different payroll systems. The sheriff's department had one, administration had one, and somebody else had another one. It might be a good time to look at maybe consolidating that, going to one system, and like I said, it would definitely simplify the reporting requirements for everybody. Boom. Us taxpayers would know they're on the job. Boom. When they check out, they're done. They get paid by the hour and many hours that they're on that clock. That's how simple it works. And those systems are very inexpensive. The other thing I'd like to talk about is highway item number 3. And I'm going to call this the saga of removing those tanks at the Kendall County Highway Department. Those tanks were removed in the early 90s. The contractor that removed them is sitting on this board. It's Mr. Davidson. It was an improper job that was done, and there was non-compliance there, and it went on for a long, long time until eventually the IEPA said, you got to do this closure properly. That said, there was fines, and we said the imposition of fines, if you don't do this, we're gonna start fining you. And it forced this board to do something, and they had to pass a not to exceed, and if I remember right, it was over $30,000 of expense for this environmental firm to come in there and do a proper analysis and cleanup for an improper job. No explanation has ever came from Mr. Davidson for the job he performed back there in the 90s. Because there was an improper job, there might be some liability there, but nobody on this board wants to talk to him about that. I think the taxpayers at least deserve an explanation on why and how this happened and why the additional expense had to be incurred and why this went on for almost 20 years. Thank you.
The new record. Thank you, sir. All right. Questions from the press.
No questions.
Your Honor.
It's not a judge.
Well, thank you. Well, here's the most exciting motion of the day, then.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Out of here.
New record.
Yeah.
New record.
It almost is.